John Darville on BBC Radio Bristol.
Now, on Bank Holiday Monday, we debated and discussed how often you see your grandparents. Millions of grandparents have no rights to see their grandchildren following family breakdown. Now, this is set to change. It was announced on Monday by a government minister that the presumptive right for grandparents to see their grandchildren will be changed. This follows a debate in Parliament last week and campaigning by many. Now, leading that charge has been Jane and Mark Jackson, who set up the Bristol Grandparents Support Group, which started as a group of grandparents who didn't see their grandchildren, went on to become a charity. Why did they set it up? Because Jane and Mark, from Westbury-on-Trim in Bristol, had not been able to see their granddaughter following family breakdown. So much has changed in that 11 years, not least of which, the law looks like it's going to be changed. But perhaps more importantly than all of that, Jane and Mark saw their granddaughter for the first time. I'm getting all emotional now. Saw their granddaughter for the first time in 11 years on Saturday, and they're here with me now. That must have... I know. What people don't know is you and I are friends.
Yes, we are.
We became friends since you first came in here. And I am emotional about this because I know how much this means to you. You sent me a message on Saturday morning, an hour before your granddaughter was going, and I remember this, popped round, and you had it in capitals with exclamation, popped round.
I did.
And she came.
She did.
And what was that like?
I've been asked that over the last few days. What was it like? This is radio. You can't see me. You can't see my face. There aren't words to express it. It was magical, and to have her back in my arms in our home was just truly amazing.
I would imagine, Jane, and for you, Mark, as well, that this is a moment you never really allowed yourself to think could happen. After all the things that we've talked about and the family breakdown and losing that contact, that you couldn't allow yourself to think that it was going to happen until it did.
Not right up until the minute she was there did I actually think it was going to happen. I've spent the last 11 years preaching to grandparents to never give up hope, but the reality for us, and now I can say, Mark and I gave up hope years and years ago. We never, ever, ever thought that this was going to happen to us, but it has, and there's a message there for every grandparent who's going through this terrible situation, is if this can happen to us, it can happen to anybody.
And it can.
Oh.
And we've heard stories, and we heard stories on Monday's programme, and I know you were listening, we heard people who'd lost contact with their family and lost contact with their grandchildren through family breakdown and other reasons as well. And Mark, when we first started talking about this so many years ago, you were very silent, and I know why you were silent, because it was very difficult for you to talk about it, because it's not just about grandmas, it's about granddads, grandpas.
And
she was your granddaughter.
She was the apple of my eye. And there's not a day gone by where I haven't thought about her, which is extraordinary. But in the same as Jane, I refused to accept that this was going to happen until she actually grabbed me in the lounge and gave me a hug. And I thought, yes, she is actually back. And the smile is still the same.
Who opened the door?
Well... I had a social media is a marvellous thing, isn't it, John?
Don't get me started.
No, I won't. That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
She sent me a picture that said 8 miles from Bristol, and that's when my heart started to race. Mm. And I suddenly thought, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. And I did go into a bit of a panic mode. And I went into the garden to put something in the bin, and I could see a car behind the tree, and it was a car I didn't recognise, and I knew it was them because she brought her boyfriend with her for moral support, quite rightly. And I thought, okay, well, this is it now. And they literally fell out of the door. They had a very long journey, and so they did literally fall out of the door, and they both came to walk towards me with my granddaughter slightly behind him. So I went to her boyfriend, first of all, and shook his hand and thanked him. And then I just stood at my front gate with my arms open, and she fell into them.
Wow.
And she shook from head to foot. And she looked at me and she said, don't cry. And actually, I haven't cried all weekend. But it sounds as though it might happen soon.
I was going to say, you're getting me going again. Stop it.
I know.
And for you, Mark, that hug, was it in the living room?
Yes, yes. Yes, I was just coming from the back garden because we're doing all our plants again this year. And just telling everybody.
Dinner and a show, this, isn't it? Gardening tips as well.
They managed to achieve the journey much, much faster than we expected, so we were taken by surprise, which was delightful.
Had she been aware, before you saw her, what you'd been fighting for?
Yes. She's been following all of it. Mm-hmm. There is very little she doesn't know. Which I was amazed at. By her doing that, of course, what's been marvellous for me is, as you know, I write blogs constantly. And it's been my therapy, actually, to do that through these years. And I'm able to be able to write things down, maybe rather than say them. And so, although I kept my blogs very general, because, you know, it's part of the charity side of stuff. Mm. I also managed to be able to, I hope, be quite personal with them. And she was able to read that and to be able to see, actually, I was a genuine person. Because clearly the picture that had been drawn of us was not of that.
Mm. And this is the thing, isn't it, about family breakdown. We'll take a pause for a piece of music and we'll talk about how far the charity, the group that we started talking about all those years ago, became a charity, and Esther Rance and all that. We'll talk about that after the piece of music. But this is the reality of family breakdown. It's the story is often written, well, history is always written by the winner. It's very rarely written by the loser. And of course, you only get one side. There are always two, at least two sides to every story. Mm. So from your granddaughter's point of view, she's followed this. Mm. She's known. And how lovely it must be for her to know how much she was loved and how desperate you were as parents to see her.
Yes. I mean, the first sort of communication we had over the first week or two was via Instagram. And so having just had sort of polite conversations with her, I then decided I was going to take the bull by the horns because I thought this opportunity might go away. Mm. And so I did what every grandparent wants to do when this happens. And I just sent her a message saying, please don't ever think any of us down here in Bristol ever stopped thinking about you, ever stopped loving you, because that's not the case. And we still do. And I sent that message and I sat there and thought, I may just have blown this completely.
Fear of rejection, of course.
Absolutely, fear of rejection again. And she responded immediately and she said, and I've never forgotten you.
Let's take a pause for a piece of music and then I'm getting emotional again. Let's take a quick pause for a piece of music. We'll talk about the success of the charity, but how wonderful, all the time that we have spoken, that you've seen your granddaughter. It is hope, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It
is, actual hope.
It's fact.
Jane, thank you.
Maybe.
The Isley Brothers and This Old Heart of Mine on BBC Radio Bristol. Still with me are Jane and Mark, Mark and Jane Jackson from Westbury-on-Trim, who set up the Bristol Grandparents Support Group all those years ago, hoping one day that they would be reunited with their granddaughter. Well, 11 years on Saturday morning, they were, and they're with me here. We've spoken about that emotional moment. You're seeing her again?
Yes, she's planning to come down at the end of June.
Mm. Fantastic. And yeah. Communicating now and talking?
Oh, communicates every day. And on Saturday night, she just sent a message that said, "I love you, Grandma."
Something you wanted to hear for years.
Something I thought I'd never hear.
So you, yeah. And this is the reality of this group that you set up, which was about, honestly, it was about you. And you, Mark, and coming to terms with not seeing your granddaughter and family breakup. But then you discovered thousands of grandparents like you.
Yes.
Who had no rights. No one was hearing them. No one was talking to them. And they weren't seeing their grandchildren.
Yeah.
How painful was it? Because this is not just about your granddaughter. This is about watching your own family go through a breakup. And then you're having to deal with effectively a bereavement.
Definitely. And as you know, that many, many years ago, I called it a living bereavement.
You
did. It's taken off from all sorts of areas now. And it is the only way to describe it, because when this happens, grandparents do go through the stages of grief that you do go through when you physically lose somebody. And it takes a long time to go through those stages of grief. And you're grieving for somebody, of course, who is still alive. And it's... You have exactly the same feelings within you, physically and mentally, that horrible, horrible tight knot in your stomach that is there every single morning when you wake up. It's there, and it's a physical thing that grandparents go through. Some get through it quicker than others. I say get through it. That's not quite the right way. They find a place of acceptance. Mm. And once they're in that place of acceptance, they can then hopefully move forward with how they decide they're going to carry on this, carrying it about with them, really, but putting it in a place where it's not quite as destructive as it is at the beginning.
Mm. And you have that sort of different journey, don't you, that one grandparent might be in a different place to the other grandparents.
Yes.
And one is not letting go and one is letting
yes.
go, and one is coping and one isn't coping, and accepting and not accepting as the case may be. And you've seen all this and you've offered support, and the group that we spoke about all those years ago became a charity, and Esther Ranson got involved and she's been on the programme, and we've talked about this. And the debate, finally, you got the debate only last week in
yes.
Parliament. Finally, after all these years.
Seems a lifetime ago now.
Doesn't it? Last week, last week.
Last Wednesday.
Last yeah. Wednesday. Yeah. And MPs, and I watched it. Goodness me. I've watched some stuff on Parliament because I'm a bit sad like that. What an emotional debate.
It was emotional, wasn't it?
It was truly emotional.
I know. And it took me by surprise completely.
Cross party.
Yes. Yes. And from every area of the country as
yeah.
well, from Scotland, Northern Ireland, South, North, East, West, it was all there. They were all represented. All with this, because when we went to meet the Justice Minister, as was then, was Dominic Raab, but you know, there's been a reshuffle since then. But we met him with Nigel Huddleston, who was the person who brought the debate forward to Westminster. I emphasised at that meeting that this was all about grandchildren's rights and the grandchildren's voice and their right to an ongoing relationship with their grandparents. Absolutely nothing to do with grandparents' rights at all. Sadly, it's the strap line that all media use, and it's really difficult.
Not this programme.
No, except yours. but it's such an important
yeah.
issue, that, because actually grandparents' rights and rights for grandchildren is a completely different thing.
Which is why this is coming under the
yes,
Children's Act, which
precisely.
Is a very, very important, the 1989 Children's Act.
Absolutely.
And this is the presumptive, this was the change of law that was announced on Monday, the presumptive right.
I need to just correct you, because what's happened is not you, but it has been said this is going to happen.
Mm. We don't know.
We don't know.
That was my question. That was my question.
This is just the beginning of a process, but that's what we want to happen, and it is being discussed as the best way to put that from a wording point of view, because clearly the children's safeguarding must come first in all of this, and so that, you know, the wording is very important, how that happens.
And but legislation takes time.
Oh, it will take forever.
Yeah, well, we know. You think it will take forever, but it's now in the sausage factory. Isn't it? It's not outside. No. It's in the factory now.
And so it's up to us and all the MPs who were involved in that debate to keep that pressure on. Mm. You know, the Liz Fraser, the Justice Minister, said quite clearly, the system is not working. We need to find a change. Now, we will be banging on her door saying, OK, you've said this, so what are you going to do?
But she too was very implicit about the children.
She was.
It wasn't about you, grandparents. She was. The system's not working for the children.
This needs
to change. And that, of course, is fundamental, because when we have spoken about this over the years, it's always been about your granddaughter, and it's always been about grandchildren, children knowing who they are, where they come from, having a support network. So many reports and studies will tell you that children who with single parents have bigger issues to deal with than those who come from two-parent families and families that are wider and supportive, because they've got a network.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about.
Definitely. It always has been. And it has never, ever once has this been about Mark or I or my son, because obviously he didn't see his daughter for 11 years either. So it was always about what this is doing to the children. We've got a whole generation of kids growing up with terrible mental health issues and family breakdown in all its forms, not just divorce and separation, but all its forms is having an effect on our children. And as a society, we need to do something about that.
And it is giving children a support network they can rely on.
Definitely.
However big that it may be. But if grandparents are there and they can do it.
Of course.
We always said to all the grandparents that came to us that what we were trying to do was to change people's thinking, change people's actions for the future. This wasn't something that was suddenly going to affect these individuals that came to our meetings, but it would affect the grandparents of the future.
And this is a UK thing. This isn't, I mean, it started in Westbury-on-Trym, but you've got groups UK. All over the place.
All
registered
over
charity, Esther's Ransom is your patron.
Yes.
And all that has been running in parallel with your hope. And you admitted it earlier that you'd pretty much given up hope.
Definitely,
but you were hoping for others that you would see your granddaughter. And on Saturday morning, you did. I couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you.
I really, really couldn't, because it's...
Thank you.
It's hope for you both. It's hope. It's real hope. It's absolute real hope.
Well, it's real hope, and more importantly, it's a new start for our granddaughter, who will now have a relationship with her dad and his now present wife, and her stepsister, who she also met for the first time this weekend.
And you too.
And us.
And you too.
And us.
Met her cousins, who she got a big hug from.
Yes.
Because they know her story, they know her pictures, and then suddenly there she was.
It was magical.
Mm.
So, the law hopefully will be changed. It'll go through the sausage factory in time. So much has happened. Yes, and I know you've got a list of people you want to thank, and I'm going to, mercifully for everybody, shut up and let you do that.
Thank you. It's a like an award ceremony, so forgive me, please, but just allow me this, because it's vitally important to me. I can't thank John Darvill and everybody at Radio Bristol particularly, because they've always been here for Mark and I, and your support has been amazing, and I value your friendship enormously, and thank you to Radio Bristol in particular. I have to thank Charlotte Leslie, who was our MP until recently, who was also really supportive with us, and we did a lot of work with her. Darren Jones, who is now our MP and who spoke at the debate on Wednesday, and Nigel Huddleston, of course, who is the MP for Worcester, who brought the debate forward. And Ashley Parmenteri as well, who's a very dear friend now at the family law practice, who has just been superb. Without Esther Ranson, none of this would be happening. None of this at all would be happening. I am indebted to her enormously for her support. To all the organisations and groups who donate to our charity, because we rely on donations, so thank you for them, otherwise the charity couldn't keep going. Grandparents who first came to our meeting, who are now lifelong friends, I hope. And last but definitely not least, my family and my friends, without whom I would not have been able to have done any of this at all. And I love them all very deeply, and thank you to all of them.
Jane, with love comes hope, and you have proven that time after time. I'd like to say thank you to you, because you have been incredibly supportive to me over the last 3 years. You don't know what that's meant to me personally.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. And to you, Mark, as well, for sharing your story. And one day, I'd love to meet your granddaughter.
Yes, and one day you will.
I look forward to that. Yes. I really do.
She knows we're here.
Great. Thank you very much indeed to both of you. Thank you, have a good day.
BBC Radio Bristol.